Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me. Today, I'm talking to Arj Kumar, who is one of the founders at Taxed. Now, that's tax with a D on the end. And having trained up as an accountant within tax and technology at PwC, Arj launched Taxed to make taxes easier and to enable anyone to access affordable and exceptional accounting quality for a fraction of the price. So Arj, hello, welcome to this week's podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good and excited to speak with you and your audience.
So taxes pretty much always put the fear of God into people. And I know that there are very many people who would not consider their accountant to be on their list of speed dial or their BFF. So firstly, I would love to hear about why you went into accountancy. Has it been something that's always drawn you? Are you a numbers guy, or was it always destined for you to be an accountant?
So actually, it's a bit weird. I didn't really know that I was going to go into accountancy. It was quite a surprise. I was just kind of looking for an apprenticeship, like a school leaver scheme, instead of going to uni. And then I found kind of PwC. I didn't actually know what they did, but then I kind of fell in love with tax. But I've always been interested in the whole sort of technology side of things. And I think that was always my kind of core interest. But then whilst working in tax, I was able to kind of work out how we can add more value to, at PwC, our sort of multinational clients with that tax technology split. So my role, although I did my tax exams, I didn't really enjoy them. I was more sort of focused on how the tech stuff can be impactful in the tax world.
So I would like to say that so many people could relate to your story, but I think the majority of my listeners will actually have a huge aversion to numbers and being excited about taxes and accountancy. But unfortunately, it is one of those things that you have to do when you are a small business owner. So whether you like it or not, you do have to find some way to get comfortable with the numbers. And obviously, you know, part of my story, why I made Pocket PA was because my daughter has dyscalculia and my son has dyslexia. So I knew that the numbers were going to be a challenge for them right from the get-go. And like so many hundreds and thousands, if not millions of other people, that whole thought of doing your accounts at the end of the year does, as I say, put the fear of God in people. And just the mention of HMRC and, you know, being friends with your accountant. But I think that this is part of what's so exciting about our conversation, because for me, from a mum's perspective, wanting my kids to be successful as self-employed, and from you as a perspective of the accountant, wanting to make doing your accounts much more accessible, I think we both have that common goal of wanting to make the numbers easy and that whole submission of your tax return as painless as possible. So I do the first part of it and you sort of do the end part, plugging in to HMRC. And we're both using technology, which is the way forwards, to try to make it much more affordable, much more less pain-free and much simpler. So that's sort of where we fit together, I think, so well.
100%. And I think you kind of had mentioned it correctly there. It's that sort of use of technology that makes it easier. And I think in the past, accounting hasn't really seen much of a shift in terms of technology that can be used by the sort of everyday person, because generally accounting tech is made for accountants, whereas the everyday person then wouldn't know the difference between a debit and a credit. So that's where things get confusing. And that's where tech can help to sort of alleviate the stress of actually having to understand those numbers in detail But really, it's just sort of connecting all the sort of data in the right places. And with sort of Pocket PA, just being able to kind of categorize, here's what the spend is for, and then you're sorted.
Yeah. And I think doing your accounts without spreadsheets is actually a really appealing way for people, because nobody usually starts a business to do more business admin or to ever get really intimate with their Excel spreadsheet on a weekly basis, let alone a daily basis. And one of the big reasons that I made Pocket PA to track your income and expenses was to enable them just to become data enterers. So I say to people, as long as you can send a text message, you'll be able to track everything in Pocket PA. That's all you are. You don't need to look at a spreadsheet until you finish at the end of the year. That's what's so exciting. And then you press one button and then it gets sent to your accountant, or you can integrate it. And this whole way that we're moving into making tax digital in the future, I know for VAT clients, it's already in place. But for my listeners who are the majority of sole traders and are moving into that idea of having to become digital and online. At the moment, I think it's 2024, but we're probably expecting that to maybe be pushed back a little bit due to probably staff shortages, to be honest, as much as anything.
There's just a number of tax kind of changes going on at the moment, but I guess it's worth everyone being ready for April 2024. It kind of moves from a one-off kind of like an annual tax return to a quarterly tax return, where you input your income and expenses, and then you still have to file at the end of the year the annual tax return that kind of confirms everything and gets your other kind of income and gains from other sources.
So the idea is that HMRC will have you a little bit more engaged on a much more consistent basis, on a quarterly basis, instead of just once a year, which I guess will stave off people sort of saving it all up to become this huge headache at the end of the year and increase the responsibility as they go through the year. But, you know, we should be tracking all of these things on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis, for sure, just so that we get an understanding. And one of the big things that I say by us having that net income dial is, you know, you need to know how your business is doing on a regular basis, and not to have the accountant be the first person to tell you that you're running an expensive hobby. So it is really important, isn't it, that people are tracking these income and expenses on a regular basis.
Yeah, I guess even aside from MTD and from those tax changes, it's important to know how your business is doing, as you said. So by being able to track that, you can not only track how your business is doing, but how much you may need to save for your tax bill, how much you might need to sort of keep aside for your own investments and things like that. So kind of keeping track of that also helps you maximize your expenses, because you're then on top of everything. Because I know a lot of people get to the end of the year and then they have to look through thousands of bank transactions. And by the end of that, if you really actually look through everything, you could probably find more expenses or more kind of bills to deduct from your profits. But if you haven't been doing it on an ongoing basis, it can take a lot of time and you may not even want to do it. It's easier to just pay a higher tax bill and save you time. So by getting in that kind of frequent tracking is certainly helpful, not just from a business perspective, but that kind of tax efficiency as well.
Yeah, it seems like boring. It doesn't sound very exciting to have to do those things, but it literally takes less than 30 seconds, 1 minute max, to be able to track a business receipt and an expense, or to put in an income. And the amount of actual headache time and stress that it saves you by, instead of storing it all up to the end of the year, you just can't compare. Because I think most people are into that rut of having a really stressful 2 to 3 weeks in January. They know it's coming after Christmas. And I was reading on your site that 30,000 people were doing their tax return between Christmas Eve and Boxing Day. I mean, that was astonishing that people were literally poring over their spreadsheets instead of pouring their gravy. That made me laugh.
100%. It's because sort of January is that tax deadline. I feel like that kind of holiday kind of period between Christmas and New Year's is always quite a busy time, just because that's when people have a little bit of downtime, but unfortunately it is taken up by tax time. So, it's not ideal.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I'm really passionate that, that the tax bill doesn't come as a surprise. And that was one of the reasons that we put our new tax estimator feature in after us having our conversations. And so we've got two default settings where people can set either a 20 or a 30% sort of benchmark. And then there's an opportunity for them to put a more specific percentage in if they've got historic accounts where they can see much more specifically. I regularly have a tax bill of around 27% or whatever. But the tax year for the UK audience, that runs from the 6th of April until the following year, the 5th of April. I always find that such a curious date. So could you just start, if somebody's thinking about setting up a business and they want to become a sole trader, what would be the steps that they take at the beginning to get registered? Because they need to let HMRC know, don't they, at the beginning when they when they're starting?
Yeah. So I guess that's actually, I guess, a bit of a myth. So you could actually just start and you don't actually need to notify HMRC straight away. What I generally say is, like, unless you need insurance and things like that to get set up, then it's worth just starting. For example, like a freelance business, or if you're in construction, if you're just like a hairdresser, just start kind of working. And only once you reach £1,000 of income, that's when you need to register. And you don't need to register straight away. You've got until the 5th of October after that tax year. So as an example, if you were working between the 6th of April 2021 and that tax year ends on the 5th of April 2022, if that's the year that you started and you earned over £1,000, you would then need to register with HMRC by the 5th of October 2022. So you've got a bit of time to actually kind of notify HMRC.
So that's quite a long time after you've got started. So all of that money that you could have made almost 18 months previous to that, you haven't been asked to register and you haven't had to have any assessment on it, which is one of the reasons that I think it lulls people into a false sense of security, that they're earning this money and they're thinking, oh, this is great, I haven't paid any tax. And they then have this shock at some point because they then have to recollect everything that they might have been, all those transactions, that income and expenses from up to 18 months ago. And then they're being asked to pay tax at a later date. It seems very different to when you're in an employed role and you're taxed on a weekly or a monthly basis and you know exactly where you are. I think this is what can actually bring a lot of sole traders into that stress place where it just doesn't make sense. They haven't paid it for all this time. And then they're asked this, what they feel is a really big bill, and they're lulled into a false sense of security.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think because it's 9 months after that tax year end, but you may start working 12 months before that. So yeah, it's a large kind of gap between when the money potentially was earned and then when you might file your tax return and when you have to pay it. So we generally say it's best to, as soon as you hit that sort of £1,000 mark, just kind of register with HMRC. And then also, but that needs to be done, sorry, after that tax year has completed. Essentially, when you do register as well, you notify HMRC that you will be filing a tax return or will be on their radar, essentially. So you will be then getting letters from HMRC saying, right, you now need to file, or you are expected to file in this next upcoming year. But yeah, that kind of gap is also why it's so important to be tracking this stuff on a frequent basis, at least kind of weekly, monthly, or even kind of daily, if that suits.
I would also just also recommend that people do take insurance out when they're starting as a sole trader. I know you said people don't always need up to £1,000, but I think most people working with the public, especially in service-based industries, should look at some sort of industry insurance as a basic. And again, it's tax deductible, so it's important that you protect yourself. But with regards to when you say registering with HMRC, is that an online process or would you always ask an accountant to do that? Because my understanding is you can go and do that yourself quite simply.
Yeah, so that's it's all an online process if you're a UK resident. So there's just a short form to fill out, which kind of outlines a bit around what you do when you started to work as a sole trader. And then you'll receive a letter within 2 to 3 weeks. And that letter will have a UTR, which is a unique taxpayer reference. Essentially, that's your code or identifier for anything related to your personal tax return.
So a little bit like you get a national insurance number, which you'll always have through your whole of your lifetime. You'll also get a UTR, a unique tax reference. And that is something that you need to quote whenever you're in correspondence or speaking to anyone at HMRC.
Yeah, exactly that. So if you ever are on the phone with HMRC, if you do get through to a human, hopefully.
Good luck with that.
Then they will ask for a UTR to kind of identify you and then kind of go through some security questions. But that number is so important. From not so relevant now, but from MTD, it will then move to
making tax digital.
Sorry, yeah.
I love it how you use these shortcuts and stuff, this jargon that people are like, oh, what the heck is MTD?
So from next April, it will be transitioning to a national insurance number, which makes it a bit easier, I guess. Less numbers and codes to try and remember or to note down.
Yeah. So I know that we were going to talk about some myths versus some truths around tax and accountancy. So what would be your first myth versus truth, Arj?
Sure. So one of the questions that we get quite a lot on tax on our software is around whether you need to have a receipt when you claim expenses. And that's actually a myth. So for many sole traders, you might be using your card for transactions and for your spending. As long as you've got a bank transaction for that particular expense, you're normally fine. It's only if you use cash or if you're claiming VAT and things like that, where you need a more kind of itemized receipt, that's when a receipt is needed. And even then, it doesn't need to be a paper receipt that you've collected. You can you can have a scan of it, or if you've taken a photo of it, that is fine.
So that's how we deal with it in Pocket PA. We literally, when you're out on the go, you can open your Pocket PA app and then just take a photo of that receipt. It's stored on the cloud, and then it doesn't matter if you lose it in your footwell of your car or in your bottom of your handbag, or it just completely disappears. You've got that expense tracked, and then that's automatically saved for you. So that's ideal.
Perfect. That's good. And then a couple other sort of myths, I guess, is around kind of HMRC and how they are quite old school. And I would say that is actually true.
It's not a myth. HMRC are old school. Is that what you're saying?
I think kind of, they've definitely improved in terms of their kind of online services. There's a lot that, as a sole trader, you can kind of log into your personal tax account. You get a nice kind of overview of how to make your payment and things like that. It's no longer just kind of checks. However, when you need to speak to HMRC, you can ring them up. But a lot of the important documents are often sent by letters.
Snail mail.
Which, in 2022, when we expect things so quickly, having to wait a couple of weeks for a letter, it is sometimes quite annoying. So that's certainly a true point. And then I guess a final one is a myth that you need an accountant to file a tax return. You don't. So you could file yourself with HMRC, but then you could be leaving some money on the table. And unless you've kind of done your tax exams or you know tax quite well, it's quite kind of difficult to know what to expense, what could be used as a tax credit, a relief, a deduction. But accountants are expensive, and I think that's where software like tax kind of comes in to kind of bridge that gap between kind of filing yourself and human accountants that can support.
I think sometimes there's a false economy by people going down the DIY route or deciding to cut corners, either with free things or always the lowest cost. There definitely is an economy. You know, we need to be budgeting and definitely minding the pennies when we're sole traders or running any business, to be sure, and especially with the recession where it is at the moment. But I think if you offset the actual amount that you might pay for a professional service against what they can actually save you, it very quickly becomes apparent that, you know, they only have to save you the amount that their fee is at the beginning and then some more in order for it to have been worthwhile to actually consult a professional person. And one of the reasons that what attracted me initially when we first started talking about working together was the great technology that you were actually leveraging and using in Taxed in order to be able to use very I'd say very intelligent information to be able to streamline and leverage a process which doesn't actually necessarily require a highbrow accountant to be able to look over. Now, obviously, if you've got more complex matters, then you may want to touch base. But for a lot of people who are just doing routine income and expenses, and they're very good at their categorizing, they've been doing similar things, it can be a very cost-effective way to submit your tax return and using technology in this way.
Yeah, 100%. And I think part of the good thing with tech compared with accountants is, and not every accountant, as like a disclaimer, but many accountants, especially as we get closer to the 31st of Jan deadline, it's almost like a conveyor belt of tax returns because they have so many to get done. And as a human, there's only so much that you can do every day, right? But whereas tech can ask you the right questions to make you more tax efficient. So around using your home bills or your sort of car costs, your travel, your phone, and so on, are things that you may pay for it personally, so it's not necessarily seen as like a business expense, especially things like kind of home bills. I find with kind of bills going up, it's important to kind of claim back what we can. And I think those particular cases are ones where if you use an accountant historically, where as we get closer to Jan, it's cases where they will just get your data and try to process it as quick as possible, instead of technology that's quite kind of broad, that can ask you the right questions and is almost a specialist in every type of industry because it's tech compared with humans that might specialize in certain areas.
Yeah. And I know you've invested a lot of money and worked very closely with HMRC in order to be able to get that flow and those correct questions so that they are consistent and accurate in order for you to be able to get that process right. Because you're 100% right. It's like a flow chart, isn't it, that you go through and then you divide, is that yes or a no? And then you get asked into another sort of filter. So it is incredibly complex and incredibly sophisticated, but it's very possible to, you know, I don't want to say replace humans, but these are sort of repeatable things that we can save time, and ultimately it will be a saving in your pocket in order to be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the things that we always say is that the fee charged will always kind of cover the amount of relief and deductions available. And I think as well, it's kind of nice to have a human there. So at Taxed, we always offer that kind of human call, human customer chat to know and to review that tax return as well. Because I'm sure we both know that taxes are stress and sometimes a cause of anxiety. So just kind of knowing that there's a human there as well to kind of look at it, to just kind of have a look through and check, is also important.
And I think that's even maybe just the first or the second year. And once you start building up that relationship, you then grow that confidence to know that it's actually doing everything that it needs to. But there is a human there at the end of it if you want to touch base. Yeah, I think that's really important. So what are some of the common expenses that people forget to put through in your experience that you might have in your FAQs? Because I know for us, we've certainly been doing a focus on business mileage. I've found that so many people don't bother tracking their business mileage because it's seen as a faff. They can't be asked to put their postcodes in and stuff, which is why we've made a really big effort to, you know, include directions for people and to just be able to track business mileage in a couple of clicks, because those small journeys really stack up over days and weeks and months and over the year to enable people to actually claim back a lot of mileage that they were already going to be traveling, but they just hadn't thought to put it through because it just seemed too much of a hassle. Are there any other ones like business mileage that you find people routinely don't bother doing just because they see it as a faff, but actually do add up?
So mileage is a good one, but also total car running costs. So you can choose either mileage or kind of car costs. And once you choose one, you have to use that each year.
So you can't flip between the two. You can't be claiming for business mileage and for servicing, MOT. Okay.
MOT, fuel, and so on. Yeah. But I think with sort of fuel costs kind of going up, and if you drive a lot, that's where total car costs can be more efficient than mileage. If you don't drive too much, then kind of mileage is just a bit easier because you then don't need to track insurance, fuel, MOT, servicing and so on. And also kind of cleaning your car and things like that can be allowed. But so that's in terms of car costs. We also see kind of home bills. So if you use your home to do some admin, for example, you might use one room as like your main office. You can claim part of your home bills towards your sort of self-employment. So as an example, you've got four rooms in the house. One of those rooms is used for work. Let's say that you've got all your home bills. You can then apportion it kind of based on the rooms in the house and how many rooms are used for work, and tax kind of handles that stuff. But that's where we see a lot of people not realizing that they can do that. There's also an easier option instead of using home bills is kind of based on the number of hours that you work from home. So if you use part of your home as an office, and if you work for over 30 hours, you can claim a flat rate amount, which is easier because you don't need a receipt for that or like the home bills. So that's sometimes some things that we don't normally see. As well as that, I think it's the, so because every kind of industry is different, it does change for every individual that we see. But things like accountancy costs and insurance are kind of common ones that everyone has, but sometimes it just gets kind of overlooked.
So professional fees, those sorts of things.
Professional fees, exactly that. Any sort of legal costs as well.
Subscriptions and memberships, all of those things, anything that you need to pay for to help run your business are also tax deductible. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Like the sort of rule of thumb is anything that's used exclusively for business can be expensed. And then if it does have some personal use, so things like your phone, then you can apportion the kind of cost of it. So if you use a phone half of the time for work, then you can claim half of it back. And many of us use our personal phones for work, and it's even things that may not seem like work, like having to make kind of posts on social media and things like that, still count as marketing costs, or still counts as marketing, sorry. So that side of it is quite important. Those are, I guess, some of the kind of key expenses.
A couple of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, what about subsistence? So people talk about being able to claim back subsistence, which is basically like a sandwich and a drink. And my understanding is that you can claim those back if you are away from your regular place of work. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's, I guess, if you are working in the same area, so let's say that your home is your main office, or if you've got like a salon and that's your main office, if you're working in that vicinity or in that kind of area, then you wouldn't be able to claim it. However, if you're traveling, and I believe the sort of rule of thumb is over 30 minutes away, then you will be able to claim subsistence, which is something that can certainly add up, especially if your work involves a bit of traveling. Then you can claim.
What would be the maximum amount per day? Is there a cap on that, Arj?
So that there's not necessarily a cap on it. It just needs to be kind of reasonable. So
if you were to go out to London for the day for work-related purposes, and you were to put your train travel through, you could grab a coffee, keep the receipt. If you were to have lunch out and you had something out, you know, during your lunch break, again, coffee or a drink on your way home, and then you had to get an Uber back to your original start point. All of those things you could expense into your business expenses.
Yeah, if that trip was made for work, yeah, 100%. And if it's an overnight stay as well, that's quite a common one that we see. So let's say that you stay that night in London, that would also be an allowable expense for the actual sort of hotel or accommodation or kind of Airbnb, but also like a dinner that evening too.
Yeah. And one of the last things I wanted to ask you about was uniform. If you work as a trade or in an industry where you have to wear specific clothes or have footwear or any protective clothes, are those sorts of things able to go through and be put through your business, or do they have to have a logo embroidered onto them?
They don't need to have a logo. So if you buy sort of equipment or uniform, even if you're like a musician, but you buy like a costume, that sort of a thing can all be expensed because you're using it for work. Because it's a work expense, it's the clothing or uniform or helmets or kind of gear that's used for work, those would all be allowable. I'm trying to think of a good example, like from a construction perspective, things like sort of helmets and boots. From a salon perspective, that could be the sort of uniform that is used in the salon.
Okay, no, that makes sense. So that's good. So I think we've pretty much covered all of the different various things that people can claim for, the importance of being tracking it on a sort of a daily and a weekly basis, not letting it overwhelm you, and sort of making sure that you're doing everything by the book, because there are penalties and things, certainly if you file late and if you pay late, aren't there?
Yeah. So the filing deadline is the 31st of January after the tax year. So for this year, it's the 31st of Jan 2023. And if you don't file by that date, there is an instant £100 penalty, which can be appealed, right? So let's say that you didn't know, or that's not normally an excuse, but if you have like a genuine excuse, then you can appeal with HMRC and they can reduce the fine or kind of cancel it. But then after that, there are more fines. There is a fine per day that it's late after 3 months, up to 6 months. And then there's also interest that's charged on the actual liability itself. So with all of that together, it does start to add up. Again, these things can be appealed. If you've not filed a tax return from a few years ago, it's probably worth appealing it than having the interest and a daily charge. So, but again, HMRC will then sort of do their own investigation to see if the appeal is worth it. But in any case, it's best to just get it done before the 31st of Jan. What we normally recommend is file as early as possible, because if you're due a refund, HMRC are much quicker at getting those refunds straight to you if you file early. If you wait till Jan, everyone's filing, so then the refunds are slower. And if you have a payment to make to HMRC, you don't need to pay when you file. You can file your tax return and then you only need to pay by the 31st of Jan. So it kind of gives you a bit of time to know what your tax liability is, but then also plan and sort of budget for that tax liability for when you need to make payment.
And one of the things I was just going to touch on, when you make your very first payment, you have to do something called payment on account. Could you just explain what that payment on account is? Because that can seem like a big amount and rather unexpected and seem unfair, but you need to just explain that part.
Sure. So a payment on account usually can kind of trip up a lot of new kind of businesses and business owners. So a payment on account is essentially a prepayment of tax for the following tax year. And because, I guess, right, those that are self-employed and not taxed through kind of payroll, HMRC aren't getting the monthly payments of tax. So to alleviate that, and also to partly alleviate the strain on the taxpayer, they collect half the tax liability in January and then another half on the 31st of July. So at each half of the tax year. And that's always half your tax liability. So for example, if this was my first year to file a tax return by the 31st of January, and I had a tax liability of £5,000, I would then be asked to make a payment on account of £2,500 in Jan, and then another £2,500 in July. So those two payments that match up with my liability. Now that money doesn't sort of go anywhere. It's actually a prepayment, right? So that means when I file next year, £5,000 is automatically taken off my liability. So I could be due a refund if my earnings and profits were a bit less, or I would just have to make a top-up payment or like a balancing payment is what HMRC call it, that next year. So it should help in the second year. It's just that first year can be a big hit.
Yeah, no, it does sometimes catch you out. And I think the other thing that people forget about is their national insurance contribution, because that is chargeable after about £9,000. Is that right?
I think it's £6,700.
Okay.
I think it's been increased from mid this year. There was a few kind of national insurance changes, but it's, I think, 6,725, and it's charged at around 13% until 12,000. And then from there, it's kind of 2%. So it sounds small, but then it does add up.
It's an extra payment that you have to allocate money aside for, I think, is the main message that we need to give. I think when I start talking about percentages, everybody glazes over. And I think it's just really important that you're just aware when you go in as a sole trader, because you're not paying that tax on a regular weekly or monthly basis, you do need to make sure that you're responsible and you're putting something aside as a provision. So that is the main message, I think, that we need to convey.
100%.
Thank you so much, Arj. It's been really kind of you to just share all of that with us today in a way that people can actually digest and realise that accountants are real people and super nice as well. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and connect, where is the best place that they can find you?
Sure. So we're active on Instagram and TikTok. TaxedUK is our Instagram, or taxed.co.uk is our website. And Tax, I guess, can help you file the tax return. So if you've got all your income, expenses and things kind of categorized, ready from your side, then Tax can help you make that final kind of filing to HMRC. And we've got kind of customer support on hand with human accountants that can support with any queries. And your listeners get 20% off with the code as well.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes to all of that, so they'll be able to find you and get all of that information. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. You earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress, and obviously the least amount of tax due. Until next time, let's catch up soon and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organised and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.